Panthers Pulse, an inside look at the Carolina Panthers and the National Football League, exclusively at Panthers.com.
It's radio, it's television, and it's on the web. We call it Panthers Pulse. It's Mike Kraft from Panthers.com, along with Brian Strickland, senior writer from Panthers.com, Max Henson, staff writer from Panthers.com, and Dan LaTaraca. Right now, he's tapping away on his laptop. But when he's not tapping away on the laptop, he has his finger on the pulse of all things social. Continue on. I know you're working hard, man, because we're buzzing with questions.
We do have a lot of questions today. Yeah. I mean, draft talk always moves the dial quite a bit, so we have a ton of fan questions coming in about who the Panthers should take. They should not take.
Well, keep tapping away, man. We'll get to them in a second. But where is that countdown? Countdown to the draft. What is it like right now? It's about, I know NFL. It's 2 days. Yeah, 2 days, so-and-so. I thought I was going to have that ready. I got so much on my screen, I missed it. But anyway, we know it's coming.
Yeah, I think it's 56 hours.
It's coming. And Brian, 3 days. I know you've rested. You're ready to go. Taking a deep breath. What's in store for us over these next few days?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is 56 hours, like I said, Mike. I mean, you can feel it. It's upon us. I think everybody's ready for it to be here. We've been talking about it for so long. Start off at 8 o'clock Thursday. The Panthers, you know, if all goes according to plan with the typical timing of picks at number 14, a little after 10 o'clock, we should know who the Panthers' first selection is in the draft. Then we'll start it all. The first round usually lasts about 3 hours. We'll start it all over again at 6:30 Friday night for about 4 hours. And then a 7-plus-hour extravaganza on Saturday starting at noon.
Love the extravaganza word. Max, you have 2 days, 7 hours, 58 minutes, and 11 seconds to get ready. What are you going to do with your time?
Keep waiting, I guess. We've been waiting for so long. I guess we're getting so much closer, which is exciting. And, I mean, we've gone through all the player position previews, which has been great, obviously. Feel like I know so much about all the guys that are available to each of these positions, haven't done it, and hopefully the fans feel the same. We've done our best to try to put as much information out there about some of these top prospects, and it's just time to see where everyone's going to go. You know, I'm a big college football fan. It's cool to see the kind of two, the college football and the NFL, come together on this draft weekend, and I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, very excited.
Well, we have to get ready because this won't be the last edition of Panthers Pulse this week. We're actually going to have two special editions on Wednesday on Thursday and Friday leading up to the draft right here live on Panthers.com, and then on Saturday right before the draft starts, and then we'll have exclusive live content right here on Panthers.com during the draft party. And Dan, I know you've been in a lot of meetings about that draft party. It's a lot of information to get out to fans. But, hey, folks have a lot to come down here and enjoy, don't they?
Absolutely. I mean, I know we have one question that came in from Will Harrison on Facebook. He's definitely planning on going to the party, but he wants to know if any Panthers players will be there. And we do know that Luke Kuechly is scheduled to attend, as are other members of the 2012 draft class.
You guys missed your cue.
And some Panthers alumni as well. And there's tons of Panthers pride rides, and there's a cornhole tournament. And can I say that on the radio?
It's
a
cornhole.
It's the beanbag toss. It's, and you laugh. You can sign up for those games, those contests, on Panthers.com. There's a website there and the article, so you can see that there. But there's tons of events, and you get a tour of the stadium, a tour of the locker room, and get to hang out with Panthers fans on Saturday. It's a great family event.
So. Well, it's not true, Dan, that I am running the 40. During the event.
A lot of fans asking about that.
I will not be running the 40 because Hank Lael didn't take my challenge.
Nice.
I told him I'd only run the 40 if he was there. But all of that live coverage right here. And as the guys mentioned, there's so much stuff on Panthers.com right now. We wrapped up the player reviews with the offensive line. Mm-hmm. Fittingly, we saved the best for last and the most important group on the team. But you guys went through the offensive line, and one of the things you talked about was the top-tier tackles. And as you see that group stacking up, and I know during the last week of draft, there's a lot of so-called movement, and I don't know whether it's movement.
A lot of smoke screens, right?
Yeah, a lot of smoke screens, but you got Luke Jokel out of Texas A&M, probably the first player off the board.
Looks that way.
Eric Fisher, another tackle there, and Lane Johnson, a guy that I know that you identified at the combine as a guy that you know is up and coming, has mm-hmm. a real big upside. But right. as you see that, how do you think that whole thing is shaking out during the draft process? Pretty much like it started.
Actually, I mean, you did the breakdown player by player. If you want to take a shot at
If you believe all the what you read about those top three tackles, they could very well all three be off the board before the top 10 picks are through.
Right.
Which speaks to how good all three of those guys are, and I guess the positional needs that those teams have drafting in that spot. So that very well might happen, and then that brings also into mind DJ Fluker, who's the fourth tackle on most people's board, and the top tackle prospects could also be a top 15 mm-hmm. pick potentially. So a lot of good tackle prospects clearly coming out in this year's draft. And yeah, I think you're looking at, you talked about Jokel being the number one pick. Fisher has also been slotted into that mm-hmm. spot at times, and they've even been 1-2 in some mock drafts. Which, I mean, how often do you see that? We saw two quarterbacks go back-to-back last year. Now we're going to see two left tackles. I mean, a premium on that position, obviously, but interesting to see so many of them right in that early part of the draft.
Yeah.
Well, as I talked about, Brian, in my piece on Jokel, when you talk about that coveted left tackle position, when you have guys like that with first-round grade, they are going to go high and go fast. True.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could see three of those go in the top five. I mean, I don't think that's out of
That'd
the
be
realm,
something, wouldn't it?
Out of the realm of possibility. There's a lot of things you could see, though. I mean, you know, it's hard to imagine. I believe the Chargers pick 11th, right? Mm-hmm. It's hard to imagine that any of those three guys would slip beyond the Chargers when you look at their needs. But we've seen so many things happen on draft day. You never know. And, you know, after those three guys, though, you mentioned Fluker. A little personal shout-out, Menelik Watson from Florida State is another
If you
interesting,
say it fast.
Yeah,
That's what I've been doing.
Menelik Watson.
Menelik, yeah. So, you know, that's an interesting story.
We're working on that for today.
Just posted it right before we came on here. FSU guy, interesting read, interesting guy. Native short version. You can read more about it at Panthers.com. Native of England. Didn't know how to put on football pads 2 years ago. Had always dreamed of playing in the NBA. Realized that wasn't going to work. And he's just an amazing athlete who said, okay, what's my next best path to pro sports? And you know, goes to junior college for 1 year, Florida State 1 year. Could be a first round pick, maybe more of a second round grade guy.
And really, because of his physical stature, tall, long arms, and when you start drawing up offensive linemen, this is what you're looking for. And the thing with a guy like that is, if he goes to the right system with the right coach, and gets some good coaching, you know, he can develop into a really good player. One of the guys that you talked about, DJ Fluker, mm-hmm. I know he's become infamous or famous in the last few days about his Twitter account, Dan, and I'm sure you'll comment on that. But I'm telling you, the thing about it is, when you look at this guy, he is a mountain of a man.
He's massive.
And you guys know I have so much love for that Alabama offensive line.
The bigger the better.
I'm trying to find out.
Is that the term?
Yeah, the Hog Mollies,
yes.
as our general manager Dave Gettleman said. Love the Hog Mollies, and they have them. If they have a guy that was a backup, I want to give him a look, but I'm gonna tell you, watching tape, I went back and tried to watch tape on all these tackles again, and when you look at DJ Fluker, he is such a massive man. There were a couple plays against some really top competition where he literally collapsed the whole side of the defensive line. Mm-hmm. This guy will come into the league and be a really solid right tackle because he's so big. For many years to come,
mm-hmm. and that's just the tackle class. Right. We continue talking about the offensive line. You look at some of the guard prospects.
I got to ask because that was coming up.
Yeah.
Has Jonathan Cooper closed enough ground on Chance Warmick? Do you think, Max?
It's interesting. I think each different team's war room, it would be interesting to see. I don't think it's clear Warmack ahead of Cooper. I think a lot of them might say Cooper ahead of Warmack. I think it's pretty much a toss up between the two. Warmack is kind of that road grader, mauling, run-blocking offensive lineman. Comes from that Crimson Tide offensive line, like you said, Mike, so clearly has done a lot of good work down there. Cooper, athletic. They consider him more of the modern-day NFL offensive lineman with his mobility, his ability to get outside on pulling plays and screens. And so I think you've got two great prospects there at the guard position, which you really don't see guards slated into the first half of a first round. It's not as valued as, let's say, a left tackle but they're two really good ones. And some are saying those two guys could be the most surefire Pro Bowlers in this draft.
Yeah, and I was going
to
say.
You were at the Pro Day.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
And you got to see this guy. You got see Jonathan Cooper.
Yeah.
To clarify, we're talking about UNC's guard.
Right. And you know, Warmack is another Bama guy, like you talked about, that you can't get enough of those. I think, you know, those are two amazing prospects. I mean, some people at times have said Chance Warmack should be considered for the number one pick. I mean, obviously, haven't heard Cooper for the number two pick, but those guys are close. And I think kind of Max hit on almost more than what order those two guys go in. It's notable that we're talking about two guards that early in the draft. I was doing a little research yesterday, just like to throw out numbers here and there. The Panthers, you know, this is their 19th draft. So in the first 18 drafts the Panthers have had, there's only been 20 guards taken in the first round total over those 18 drafts, 64 offensive tackles. Mm. So, I mean, you can see how typically they're valued. And it's interesting to see the guard become a more prominent position on draft day.
Good stuff. Well, as always, we count on your questions. Let's go right to the social networks, Dan.
Sure. We have Tommy Locklear on Facebook mentioned rumors from last year that the Panthers were looking at safeties. But with that in mind, does the Panthers feel that a safety like Kenny Vaccaro could be a good fit for the team going into the draft?
Well, I mean, I'll play off of what we were just talking about, though. The safety position on the whole, only 15 safeties taken in the first
round over the
18 drafts that the Panthers have taken part in. So, and that's a position that has become more and more of a first-round consideration, especially with the development of the pass-catching tight ends,
exactly.
Just the explosion of pass-catching tight ends. I mean, that feeds right into what you want from a safety. And Kenny Vaccaro, almost universal, I guess, is considered the top safety in this draft class, and somebody that could well go in the teens. And I mean, there's no doubt it's something the Panthers are going to look at. You could list that on their list of needs, but again, you know, you mentioned Gettleman's press conference last week. I think he's determined to pick best player available and not get slotted into a certain spot, although that is a position they would consider.
You know, Brian, to your point, we have a lot of questions coming in about the Panthers potentially trading down, and you get those. Any team is probably getting questions like that, but what are your thoughts on that topic?
Well, I mean, my thoughts don't matter as much as Dave Gettleman's thoughts.
And, yeah,
very true.
Yeah. And I would say, Danny said fans on every team are probably asking that question. I think every team in this draft is probably thinking about that fact. I was telling Mike, it's one of the, you know, biggest things in this draft. People seem to always be talking about can we trade back? It's a hot name in this draft. Can we get to trade back? And that's because of just how deep the first round is, and people saying that there's maybe not much of a big difference between pick number 15 and pick number 25. Mm-hmm. So if you can trade back and get more picks, great.
Right.
The problem is going to be finding someone, a partner, to do that with. And I think a lot of teams are interested. I don't know if there are teams that are willing to move up. That's the big question.
Well, you have to go back to Dave Gettleman's press conference last week, and he used the dollar-dime analogy.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that analogy. Because he's and one thing he said, and I wrote his quote down. He said, "You can talk yourself out of a good player."
Yeah.
Because and here's the deal, because we've had access to the draft room in the past, and you'll see the names and numbers during the draft, and eventually as guys come off the board, there'll be a guy that you have highly ranked that'll just be sitting out and above everybody else. And I'm not giving away a house secret, because this happens in every draft room.
Right.
And that guy sits there, and here's the deal. Sometimes the best available player can match a need, and now it's a no-brainer.
Right.
When that best available player, hey, also we need a so-and-so.
Right.
But then again, if you don't get that guy in one of the higher rounds, There is always an opportunity to fill needs as you go along, as those guys become a better value later on.
Right,
and that's
right.
Something that I'm sure we'll see in the draft room again. Let's keep rolling with some questions here.
Sure. We have one from Benjamin Tarleton. Seeing as it is Dave Gettleman's first draft, will he feel any extra, as a general manager, will he feel any extra pressure to make a statement, or will he carry out business as if he's been doing it for years?
Come on. Dave Gettleman is not worried about making statements.
Guy's
Dave
a pro.
Gettleman is in terms, a workhorse.
Mm-hmm.
Get the job done. What does it take to make this a winning team? He's not worried about he's not worried about, you know, becoming the latest, greatest, hottest next. He's worried about the good old-fashioned job of doing work.
And I'll use his words. He's said this a couple times already now. It's not about who gets it right. It's about getting it right. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. something we've heard from Dave Gettleman on multiple occasions, and that's truly his philosophy. He talked about how being in that war room, he's been on, I think, 26, is it? This will be his 27th or 28th war room. I mean, yeah. The guy has been through a draft before, so he's prepared, it's not about egos when it comes to draft day. It's about finding the right fit. Yeah, I don't expect to see much of a need to make a statement here in Dave Gettleman's first draft.
Well, with the time we had left, I want to touch on one thing as we hear this week. Also, off-season conditioning underway. We're moving forward and still in phase one, correct, Brian?
Yeah, that's correct.
Of off-season conditioning. Some things we'll have from time to time. Got some pretty good access to the weight room and some of the conditioning last week. So
yeah.
Stay tuned on Panthers.com for all that. But as we mentioned, we will have a lot of coverage. We will pick up as a group and start again on Thursday before the draft. You guys will be here in Bank of America Stadium covering the draft from start to finish. And from time to time, you'll pop in during our live coverage over the week. So, as always, we promise to stop talking before you stop listening. It's Mike Kraft. I'm here with Brian Strickland, also Max Henson. Dan LaTaraca and all the gang. I'd like to give a shout out to David Monroe getting us up on up in cyberspace, and Berkeley Dickens on the Wheels of Steel. And we will see you right here. We'll see you Thursday on the Panthers Pulse right here on Panthers.com.